Some have said that UCLA could be the next Indiana. I'm not buying that. I don't think Justin's buying it, but we do need to talk about a vastly improved UCLA team.
Welcome to the Bucky Report, your destination for all things Wisconsin Badgers. Authentic takes.
Oh, my God.
Game analysis.
Touchdown, Badgers. Ring one up.
And discussion from the fan perspective.
Woo-hoo!
Thanks for joining us. And on Wisconsin.
Welcome to the Bucky Report, part of the Believe Podcast Network. We are your hosts, Rajiv and Justin, back together for a midweek Know Your Foe episode. This time, UCLA, a road game in the middle of October, and a team that frankly has kind of the big wild card of the Big Ten right now. Some think they could be really good with the new coach. Some people think they're not going to be good. We're going to talk about it after we hear from Zed from the Bruin Source, who joined us to break down UCLA. We're going to drop that in right here and come back and react to it. Zed from the Bruin Source joins the show to tell us a lot about one of the biggest wild cards in the conference, the UCLA Bruins. I'll tell you, it's a big mystery, Zed. Let's start off by telling people where they can find your work. Where can the Bruin Source be found?
Yeah, so you can find us. We're pretty active on Twitter, though. We've been on a little bit of a summer hiatus this past couple of months, but we're planning to gear back up very, very shortly. So look out for our content there. We're mostly active on X or Twitter, so you'll see our content being posted there pretty often. You can find the show on Spotify, Apple, all over the place. So and if there's a platform people are looking for, let us know, we'll get it there. UCLA definitely a little bit of a wild card, getting off of the Deshaun Foster roller coaster, now bringing in Bob Chesney. I think we are all very excited for this change. I think we are all, well, I won't speak for the entire fan base, but I'll speak for myself. I am cautiously optimistic. Everything I have seen and heard and witnessed so far is cause for being optimistic. But as a UCLA fan, I have been hurt before, so I'm tempering that a little bit.
Let's talk about some of those optimism areas there. Obviously, Chesney is, he was at James Madison. I've heard some comparisons to the Kurt Cignetti situation, which gets getting way ahead of ourselves there. But what have been some of those signs of optimism? I mean, recruiting seems to be, going in the right direction. Like, what are some of the things that that fans are kind of pointing to get really pumped about?
Yeah. I mean, so you mentioned Kurt Cignetti. I am trying to shy away from those comparisons. I think that is just an unfair thing to try to compare to, and it's just setting everybody up for disappointment and setting the coach up for failure. So, like, that is a really high bar. I think that is an anomaly. So I don't think anybody should be expecting a Cignetti, like, one-year turnaround into a playoff, into a championship by, like, year two. Let's not get crazy. That being said, I think there are, to your point, there's a lot of signs for optimism here. I think just number one, like, the energy around the program is just shifted. It has felt like there is intention to everything that is happening. Everybody, the players, the coaching staff has bought into this plan. And it just feels like there is a methodology in place that is really, really exciting. We have not seen that at UCLA for a very long time. And I think that was evidenced in all of the spring practices. It's been evidenced in kind of everything that's been coming out over summer. And I think in recruiting, like, it is definitely showing up in recruiting. And so you go from Deshaun Foster, you go from Chip Kelly, that coaches that were really not doing much recruiting. And now Chesney has shown up. And he has just hit the pavement recruiting. And we have always said UCLA is not a difficult place to recruit. One, it's located in one of the prime talent pools in the country. Two, I mean, I don't know if you've ever been to campus, but it's gorgeous. The facilities are top-notch. The education is top-notch. And now we're finally building up the NIL pool in a really more meaningful way now with Chesney at the helm. So it is not a difficult place to recruit to. And Chesney's proving that. I mean, he's come in. The class is in the top half of the Big Ten now. It's nationally ranked. I forget where it's at currently, but it's been hovering around kind of 10, 15 for a while. All of this has been really, really exciting to see. It feels like, hey, National Signing Day is going to be an exciting time again for a UCLA fan. For several years, it was just kind of like, ugh. But now it feels like, hey, we're going to tune into this. This is going to be fun.
I mean, listen, the last thing that us original Big Ten teams need is more West Coast teams to be successful. We already have USC on their, rise back up, and Oregon's still there. So, yeah, we don't like this, but it's still exciting to talk about. Let's get into the team a little bit. So, obviously, Nico Iamaliava, quarterback, looks like, maybe he's going to have a year that takes off. Obviously, you lost some people. Who are some of the key additions to this team and some of the guys that people need to be watching out for this season?
So I think there's a couple of individual players, and then there's a couple of like unit adds that I will talk about. So I think like getting a guy like Wayne Knight, continuing the Chesney offensive output from JMU, I think that'll be really exciting to see kind of at a running back position. But the guy that coming over from JMU I'm mostly excited for is going to be Sahir West. I'm sure this is a common answer for a lot of UCLA fans, but our defensive line over the last couple of years has been middling. Our pass rush especially was not very good. And so getting a guy who has proven to be a good pass rusher time and time again, who has played in a playoff, especially has that experience, I'm really, really excited to see him come in. From just a broad perspective, I'm really curious to see what the offensive line looks like. We've brought in a bunch of transfers, a couple guys from JMU, a couple of guys from elsewhere. Just like as a unit, that is going to be really, really important to watch, because if you have followed UCLA over the last several years, the O-line has been beyond terrible. I mean, starter wise, you might have a good couple of good guys in there, but beyond that, it was like paper thin, zero depth with any talent whatsoever. And so when you rotated a starter out for a play or two or series or two, it was abysmal. And so I'm really excited to see how Nico operates, assuming that these offensive line transfers actually help shore that position area up. I'm very, very curious to see what that looks like.
Is that the position that you're most concerned about? Is that, would you say that's perhaps your weakest position on the team?
I would say that has been our weakest position. And then D-line has been relatively weak. Though, again, we've pulled in some really good transfers on that front, so I'm a little less concerned. Guys like Maxwell Roy from Ohio State, Tyson Ford from Cal, those guys seem to fit what we need. Now, health, I think, is going to be the big question for some of these guys, but there's talent there and there's a lot more depth there. O-line is really the one place that I think if we can fix that, I think Nico will actually shine and look very, very good this season.
Let's talk about Nico a little bit and the kind of the offensive identity. What in your idea, like, what is the offense going to look like this year, and to maximize what Nico does well, what does it need to look like?
I think we need to get out of the frame last season where it was, okay, offensive line breaks down and now Nico has to make some magic happen. Right. I think if we can keep Nico from having to carry the team on his back for entire stretches of the game, that will be really, really, really good. I want to see us run the ball more intentionally. I want to see some of the receiving core step up a little bit more to support Nico. I'm very, very excited to see some of the additions there as well. So guys like Samaj Morgan coming in and Aiden Mazzell. There's some depth there now and there's some more talent there. So very, very excited to see what that looks like. I think that supporting cast should help Nico shine. I think if we're seeing Nico scramble around and try to do a Lamar Jackson impression time and time again, it's just not going to work. And he's good. he's not Lamar Jackson by any means, but he's good at scrambling and making stuff happen. But like, it's not sustainable. I just want to see a little bit more ball control. I want to see a little bit more protection of the quarterback. And I think that will help the offense click a little bit.
So O-line's going to really dictate what happens with this team.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, that you can say that for basically every team, right? But it's very much true for the Bruins this year.
So Vegas kind of has you guys at a 6.5 over under on the season. Again, big wild card, could be 3-9, could be 9-3, could be 11-1, could be 1-11. It seems like no one really knows. What's your kind of prediction? How do you see this season going for UCLA?
Look, I think 6 to 7 wins would be a huge win. Just getting bowl eligible after the last couple of seasons, big win. I think you can build off of that. I think if you are Bob Chesney, you can say, look, the plan is working. The recruiting is working. Now we can use that as a stepping stone to compete a little bit more in the Big Ten, compete for, you know, higher bowls. I think that is going to be the key thing. That being said, like, he's not shying away from the expectations. He's been, from day one, he has come in and said, look, we are here to win. We are here to compete for Big Tens. We are here to compete nationally. Now, talk is always a lot cheaper than actual actions, but I think what we're seeing, you know, in the practice field, in recruiting, seems to indicate that he has genuine belief that they can get there. And I think it gets fans excited and genuinely has us believing like, hey, there's a project here that can get us there. But I think for this season, if we get anywhere from 6 to 7 wins, like, that would be a huge win. Anything above that is just a cherry on top.
I have one more question I got to ask you, because I always like to talk to UCLA people about this.
Yeah.
The home field advantage, like, the Rose Bowl is a great venue. Obviously, you know, people like us in the Big Ten, we think the Rose Bowl, we have so much reverence for that stadium. I've been there several times. It's amazing. But as a UCLA fan who that becomes, that's their home stadium, do you feel like you have a home field advantage? Is that a thing for UCLA fans, or does that annoy you because it's not like your basketball arena that's right on campus? Like, how do UCLA fans like feel about the Rose Bowl as their home field?
So I personally, I think, growing up a UCLA fan, going to the Rose Bowl for my entire life, like, I love the Rose Bowl. I think a lot of older fans will say that. I think a lot of fans, you know, 30 and under will say that. I don't know if that's the case for the younger fans. But the stadium itself, you know, it's beautiful. The tailgating there is incredible. The golf course setting, the mountains, it's always perfect. The stadium has its shortcomings for sure. It is old. You know, it does not create a lot of sound necessarily. And it is really difficult to get to from campus. So getting students there has never been easy. You know, when we were in school, and they still do this today, you have to take like a 30, 40 minute bus ride from the dorms to this actual stadium. That is not ideal. But I think that the home field advantage really has been diminished, not by the stadium. I think it's a little bit of a false narrative. It's been diminished by just poor performance and just mismanagement of the program. I have been to the Rose Bowl when UCLA was successful and playing well, and it is packed. I mean, you can get 70, 80,000 people in there, no problem. And Los Angeles, look, Los Angeles is very different than the rest of the Big Ten. It only respects winners. And so, you know, it is what it is. People, you can call them fair weather fans, whatever. They're not as engaged or as diehard as, like, maybe myself, but that's just how LA is. So if you're not winning, people aren't going to show up. And so I think that is the bigger factor in having a diminished home field advantage more so than the Rose Bowl itself. I think if you move the home stadium to SoFi, for example, which is a little closer to campus, if the team is losing, it's going to be just as bad, if not worse. Then you're just in like a really sterile environment that's empty, and somehow that's even a worse experience than the Rose Bowl. So I think people will show up and people will start coming if they start winning games. And that home field advantage will rebuild itself a little bit more. So that's, it's not necessarily the Rose Bowl issue. I think it's just a program being bad issue.
You're so right about the LA. I used to live in Southern California, and man, you're okay, so true. Yeah. They don't, it's like, if you're not winning, it's forget the fans being there. Yeah, totally.
It is what it is. Like, that's just LA for you. So,
it's California. There's a lot more things. There's cool things to do in California and outside of the sport.
Yeah.
And then there's guys like me and you that like live and die by sports. So, you know, it is what it is.
Look, if they're going 0-12, I will still probably be at the game. So,
right.
You know, they don't need to worry about guys like us. They need to worry about the more casual fans.
Yeah. Right. Well, it's going to be a good one. I wish I could be there, but I'm not. I have a wedding in Phoenix that weekend, so I won't be able to attend this game, sadly. I love going to all the West Coast games because I'm a West Coaster. I live in Vegas, but I'll miss this one. Zed from the Bruin Source, thanks for joining us. Thanks for lending us your UCLA expertise.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Okay. Justin, a lot of hype around this team just because Bob Chesney, the new coach, James Madison guy, kind of following that Kurt Cignetti situation. That's obviously a thing that UCLA fans are talking about. It's a fair, maybe it's fair and arrow's not, but James Madison clearly was a good team last year. They were in the playoff. Like, it's, there's a lot to discuss there. What are your thoughts on this? Like, it's a road game at the Rose Bowl. Like, how do you feel like UCLA is going to be this year? There's a lot of question marks around this team.
I think they're going to be improved. I don't buy any of this stuff that they're going to be maybe a potential dark horse or whatever. Listen, for as bad as we were rushing the football last year, they were every bit as bad as us. Their leading rusher last year was their quarterback. So that tells you a lot. They have a lot of work to do, just like we do. I'm very curious to see what happens with Chesney here. I'm not saying that I don't think he'll be successful. What I'm saying is, let's slow a roll that it's going to be year one, that he's going to come in and hit the ground running, because there is only one Kurt Cignetti. How often have we seen a guy step in from a lower level like that and just destroy everyone? It doesn't happen. Like, he's a unicorn. So I think for them, the goal for year one is just improvement. Show that you're a better team than what you were, that you're cohesive, and that you have a good culture. And I think this is a game where I expect Wisconsin to win. I'm not saying that's going to be easy, but I do expect us to win this game. I just think the roster is in a better place than where theirs is right now. A lot of that has to do with the fact that I think we finally have kind of grown into things, whereas they've had a lot of upheaval from last season from switching. Now, you bring in transfers. This isn't fantasy. These guys have all got to come in and they've got to gel and it's got to work. That's where Wisconsin is ahead of the curve compared to UCLA. Wisconsin has we brought in pieces for sure, but the bulk of our foundation is the guys who are now third year players that Fickell's been recruiting. So like, a lot of our offensive line is guys that he brought in through recruiting classes that have been here 2 or 3 years that you feel like are ready to now kind of that step and be ready to be good players for us. And I think that that's something that UCLA is working towards. We'll see. I don't expect them to be like a incredible defensive unit year one. And I don't expect them to be able to necessarily stand up in the trenches year one. But that, I think for them, the goal is to, can we see growth and can we see things that he can hang his hat on going into year two?
I think you can draw a lot of parallels with UCLA and Wisconsin just from their underperforming teams. They both have a 6.5 expected win record as far as the Vegas odds, which kind of surprised me, but also, like, we have a strength of our team, and that's certainly the defense. They've got Nico Iamaliava, and whether or not you think he's great or not, he's a very talented, high ceiling, super athletic, skilled player that is a difference making type of a quarterback, however you see it's going to be. And we have some question marks on the offensive line. We know it's going to be better, but there's some depth issues, at least that I have. UCLA definitely has question marks. And you heard Zed say this, like, that's definitely going to be a concern. And it's like, if they can't protect Nico, then their offense can really do nothing. If they can, then because they've got the high ceiling guy behind under center, then, you know, you certainly can see that being a thing. I think ultimately defensively, they're just not going to be as strong as we are. And I think that This is not going to be an easy game because it's obviously going, it's going to Los Angeles, but now we're talking, we previewed the three toughest games we're going to face all season. Now we're getting into this 50-50 group, right? Of teams that are like, it's not, it's, they're just definitely not a gimme for sure. We have to go there and perform, but it's also a game where you can definitely see Wisconsin's talent and the athleticism that we've talked about many times, Justin, like showing out here and saying, yeah, all right, we're going to be able to run the ball. Our cornerbacks, our linebackers are going to get to Nico. That we're not, you're not going to get to the outside. We're not going to let him beat us with his legs. Like, there's a lot of things that you can see us doing. Not to mention, the LA fans are going to be very high up for you know, a lot of LA Badgers. That's going to be big. I'm feeling pretty good about this, but I think this is now that 50-50 group where if you were looking at a 7-5 season, we're looking at an 8-4 season, which we've both talked about. You got to get some of these types of games. You got to win a road game at a team that's on, as you said, just kind of in year one of the new coach. They are going to be better. I just don't think their O-line is going to be able to stack up to our defensive front.
Yeah, I think, and part of what I look at with this is that you look at the stats for Nico from last year, and they're pretty pedestrian. So I think he's a guy that, yeah, there's some upside there still, but I think you look at it, at least in my opinion, and I think you have a guy that's kind of getting by on his high school rating pedigree to a degree. Because it's not like he was gangbusters last year for them and he was just like the team just wasn't there around him. His stats are pretty middling. There wasn't a lot of talent on that team. But to expect a bunch of hired guns to come in year one and hit the ground running is expecting a lot, too, that it's just all going to gel. My instinct on this is that you may see a little bit of a improvement. But I'm not expecting him to suddenly be one of the top quarterbacks in the conference, especially with the turnover that they've had, because he's going to have a lot of new pieces that he's going to have to find a way to get, you know, acclimated with and prove that he can get it done. But if they can't run the football, much like us last year, then it doesn't really matter how good he is. I don't think they're talented enough to, number one, keep him upright, and number two, have him have the weapons to be able to go out there and make a bunch of plays.
Yeah. UCLA allowed 190 rushing yards a game last year. And look, we know what it's like to bring in it for a new first year coach, and things don't always work out the way they're expected to, unless you're Kurt Cignetti, which he is not. And yeah, I mean, they definitely strengthened the portal. They brought in a lot of good players there, but I don't really feel like they're going to necessarily stop our rushing attack. And when you allow, they allowed 5.2 yards of carry last year. Like, that's, if we have 5.2 yards of carry, we're going to crush that team. Like, you're not going to do a lot of damage when your defense is what that is. And ultimately, you've said it, the trenches is where this game is won or lost. If we're playing UCLA and we don't win the trenches against them, we've got bigger problems. And that 8-win season is out the window. Like, we have to be able to rely on our O-line and our D-line to get this kind of done, and our toughness over their toughness, because they're putting it together, but they're not there right now.
Yeah. If we don't win the trenches in this game, then I think what we've talked about is going to happen. You're going to see Luke Fickell looking for a new job, because if he can't get it done against UCLA, he's not going to get it done against some of the other teams that are more established. And by established, it don't necessarily mean better, but teams that have, like, they have their foundation. They know who they are. Iowa is one of those teams. I think I would say Penn State probably has a little bit more in the cupboard of guys either that were with Campbell already or were left behind from the previous staff, that I feel more comfortable that they're going to at least be solid in the trenches. I don't know that I buy UCLA is necessarily going to take a massive step here. At least when we look at Wisconsin, a lot of it is we're putting a lot of faith in Mateos, but Mateos has pedigree. So you have a coach that you look at that has consistently had really good results. And we feel like the talent was there with some of the young guys that we felt were really good recruits. So it's a matter of kind of, you know, getting those two things together and making them work. And I think that what we're looking at there is, well, do they, number one, how good is the, you know, offensive line coach that they're bringing in? Is the talent that he has there to build with good enough for him to be able to put together a really solid depth? And it's not even just those starters. Is the depth there that if somebody goes down, you have somebody you feel comfortable with sliding in, that it doesn't all just fall apart like a house of cards? Because if anybody knows how that works, it's Wisconsin fans right now. When you slide one piece out of the deck and suddenly we're just done.
Yeah, for sure. Reminder where this game falls on the schedule. This is after bye week. So we do have, we play our Penn State and we play Michigan State at home, which will probably be our next one that we go over with the Know Your Foe series. And then we have a bye week and then UCLA. That starts the UCLA, USC, Iowa. Really tough October. Once again, October is not going to be easy. But I do think this is the one. This is one of those games you identify that we should win. It's a game that I think if we want to achieve the goals that we are setting for ourselves as fans, we have to win it. And I think that this is one of those games. It's a measuring stick of how tough are you? How physically dominant can you be? How much physically dominant, more physically dominant have you become in the last couple of years with Luke Fickell? And are you ready to take that next step? Thank you again to Zed from the Bruin Source. We'll be back again this weekend to cover yesterday's Media Days, talk more about what we learned at Media Days. And we'll be kind of previewing camp as well. And maybe having a few pre-camp storyline discussions right before camp starts. Thanks for joining us. And as always, on Wisconsin.
On Wisconsin.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoy the show, subscribe to our YouTube channel at The Bucky Report or The Bucky Report Podcast from wherever you get your content. Until next time, on Wisconsin.